Paul Ramo here for Q92 Radio, and in the studio we have some special guests today, Don and Bev Struxness from Rural Myland. Thanks for coming in the studio, guys.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, welcome to Q92.
Thank you.
Now, Don and Bev, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, but first, before you do that, their grandson is J.D. Struxness, who is pretty popular, isn't he, Don?
Well, we're very proud of him, and along with our other 9 grandkids, too.
Yeah, that's right. J.D.'s really made a name for himself in the pro rodeo circuit, hasn't he, Bev?
He really has, and he's really added a spark to our life along with the other kids, too, because, we were just down in Texas in March and got to watch him in a rodeo and be with his family for a while.
Good. You got some other grandchildren in the rodeo, too, Don?
Yeah, we do. We have, of our 10 grandkids, 7 of them went to college rodeo and on pretty good scholarships, actually.
Oh, wow.
Some of them were total scholarship. And, of course, we followed J.D. from Florida to Calgary, Canada, to Texas several times, Oklahoma a bunch of times. And the girls, too, his sisters rodeoed, so they were in the
Ozark region.
So we've tried to make, they have 5 rodeos in the spring and 5 in the fall in the college, and we tried to make 1 in the spring and 1 in the fall.
Nice.
Once we started.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, and what you've been doing. Bev, you're retired?
I am retired. Okay. It doesn't mean you don't do anything, but I am retired from being a community education director, which I did for 30 years, and I loved it.
Very good at it, too. Yeah. My wife worked on you there for a while, and she loved it still. Good. How about you, Don?
Well, we live a mile and 3/4 east of Myland, and I've lived there all my life, except for a couple of short stints in college and military.
Mm-hmm.
But
I still farming?
I still babysit 7,500 head of cattle, and I did retire from bus driving 5 years ago.
Okay. How many head of cattle?
Well, about, it varies. Okay. Dan and I have cattle together, so sometimes the cattle that he has are on my side of the river, and I take care of them.
Okay.
And sometimes they're at his place.
All but right. I like the word.
Usually about 50 cows with calves.
I like the word you use, babysit.
Yeah.
I think it's a little more than babysitting. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Not terrible much.
Okay.
But anything major, Dan's usually involved in, too, so.
Okay, good. Well, I've asked Don and Bev to come into the studio because they have a very special event coming up here, so why don't you tell us about it?
Well, I first learned about biochar. This is what I'm excited about. Biochar is if you burn wood in a low or lack oxygen situation, you can turn it into biochar, and you can actually sequester 50% of the carbon that's in that tree. And we just use the dead trees, of course.
Right.
But
there's quite a few of them around now, aren't there?
Yeah,
unfortunately.
There is. And you drive around the country, it just drives me crazy seeing all these piles of dead trees that they're going to burn.
Yep.
But if you just burn them, 99% of the carbon goes into the air and other pollutants too.
Yep.
If you could burn them in a low oxygen situation that's controlled, and then also put it out before it goes to ash, just when you get to embers, you can produce this product, and it's fantastic. Besides putting the carbon away for hundreds of years, it creates a home for microbes. If you inoculate it with, say, cattle waste or manure and compost, it'll pick up, it has an attraction for all those elements, the nitrogen, the phosphorus, and the potash. And so it then buried in the ground, and then the microbes can deliver to the plants. And if there's excess of some of those elements in the ground, instead of running off in the water, they'll stick with the carbon.
So it makes a Is that, would you call it a fertilizer part?
No, it's not fertilizer. It's not a fertilizer. Okay. It's just an agent that actually holds, attaches to that, gives the microbes homes. Because it's very porous, it'll hold up to 4 times its weight in water.
Wow.
So that's a big positive, too. Now, you have to get the water to start with so it right. gets soaked up. But once it does that, then it gradually releases that as the plants. But it works like a mulch, almost, mulch, as far as holding.
Okay. All right. So it really improves the soil structure.
It does. It okay. does. It does that.
So what are the benefits of a biochar then? Go over that again quick.
Well, it's
the benefits.
It's burying that carbon for hundreds of years.
Instead of letting it go into the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's homes for the microlife. It hangs on to all kinds of these elements, plant food elements that could be lost to runoff or whatever. It actually loosens the soil texture, mm-hmm. and
so is this a fairly new concept or
no? It really isn't. Okay. But you can't buy it around here, mm-hmm. because it's on the west and east coast. They do some where they have a bunch of logging where we can put in these multi-million-dollar projects. Mm-hmm. Then they can actually use the heat generated and the gases generated too. So you can buy it there. But in, say, Minnesota, there's no place actually where you can buy it.
They don't mass produce it anywhere around here.
Okay. Now, anybody can produce it, and that's what we're trying to show.
Okay.
We used it. I started a year and a half ago when I learned about it and made it. Spent about 3 afternoons burning wood in a tractor rim and so on.
Okay.
And produced 400 or 500 pounds of it, mixed it with cattle manure and whatever, and used it in our garden and had fantastic results with some fruit trees and vegetables. And this year we used a little bit on a Gabbera daisy plant, and it just went wild.
Oh.
But
the real benefit
mm-hmm. is the nutrients it carries with it too. So it isn't just the biochar, but then the homes for the microbes, so they do well.
Good. So you've really done your homework on this, Don, and experimented with it, and it's really paid off in your garden and stuff. Is that
right? Well, it has their way. Now, in dollars and cents, I wouldn't say it paid off okay. very well. But we have developed bigger kilns. They call them kilns, but you burn them in. Mm-hmm. The first one I made cut a 550-gallon fuel barrel in half and used that. But was the best ones we have so far. I had a couple old hog feed bulk bins that I cut down. They're like 7 foot across and about 3 foot high, and you can burn a lot of wood in there. But most of it I've been just carrying to the loader bucket and
right.
cutting with a chainsaw and whatever. And then you need to get it down to about a 4, 5, 6 inch diameter if it's going to char fast enough to kind of be worthwhile. Otherwise, it takes hours and hours. But I have, and that's what we'll be demonstrating with, is some of these smaller ones. I have visions for making something, because I'm working with NRCS too. They have a program for using it, but it hasn't been really developed and used in Minnesota and funded. But this year, the National Agriculture Secretary, they're putting a big emphasis on regenerative soil.
Awesome.
And that could be a key player in it.
Right.
And I got signed up for a pilot project with them.
Okay.
So that should last for 5 years if I last that long. Anyhow, so I'm excited about it. But then you got to start talking.
Educate 50, people.
50 tons, 100 tons,
right.
which I have the tree access, and just look around the neighborhood, there's all kinds of material,
right.
but to burn it and do it without killing yourself
right.
is what we're working on, but
okay.
we got our eye on about a 8,000-gallon fuel barrel that's 8 feet in diameter and 20 feet long that we'd like to cut in half and make big burners out of that.
Awesome.
Because they would be hold water in the bottom. Part of the challenge with what we got now is there's no bottom in it, so they just sit on the ground.
Right.
Well, you get a pile of charcoal on the ground, it's hard to kill it.
Okay.
You know, if you got any logs that are still intact, kind of the underside of them stays hot.
Okay.
And so it'll relight again. Okay. But those...
Good. Okay. Bev, you have a field day coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what's the purpose of the field day?
Sure.
When is it and where is it?
It's this Saturday, May 23rd, and it's from 11 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. I think some press releases I sent out, I put the wrong ending time.
Oh.
But it's supposed to be from 11 to 3.
Okay.
And it will be
Is that your farm?
It's at our farm. Our address does not show up right on GPS.
Okay.
So therefore, pay attention to going 1 3/4 miles east a mile and right along Highway 40. We're in the north side of the road. And we just, you know, look forward to having people stop in and come for as long as they want to. We've got some of our relatives, kids helping us with it. So they'll be demonstrating how to do an actual burn and demonstrating the wood splitter and that kind of thing. And we'll have brats, but then also if you bring a 5-gallon bucket with you, you can go home with a sample of biochar and try it in your garden this summer.
I might do that.
Yeah. And then there will be speakers, and for sure there will be a soil specialist from NRCS coming. She was just at our farm last week, and she's really excited about coming.
Is that part of the University of Minnesota Extension, or what is it?
NRCS stands for what?
National Rural Conservation Service.
National Rural Conservation Service.
Yeah, and she's from the Marshall office, but she's the Minnesota soil specialist, and she's very excited about coming and sharing things. And the beauty of a field day is that it's more casual, and so you can walk around and see what's happening, and then you can talk to other people, and you find out, somebody knows something, and somebody else knows something else. So I think field days, we've been involved in field days through the years, and they're really fun. And we're thankful to the Southwest Regional Sustainable Development Partnership, because they have partnered with us to help fund this project. And so they give us, that partnership gives a connection with the university. So actually we're also working with the university soils person who can't be there on Saturday, but she's working with us on doing some testing to validate, the value of it. So we're very appreciative to have those connections both directions.
Right.
And we hope that they will come with somebody that come to talk to, but not the one we had talked with, but then we got a grant through that partnership, and that allowed us to rent a skid loader and a trailer so we can do this like other people would do it, and not just carry it by hand like I was doing it to start with, and to hope to demonstrate that.
Make it easier that way. Yeah. Okay. So, Bev, again, this Saturday at your farm, a mile and 3/4 east of Milan, right along Highway 40 then.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's this Saturday from 11 to 3.
Correct.
Yep. I know I talked to Dwayne Hested. He said he was going to be out there, and Dwayne's very knowledgeable about soil, isn't he?
Well, he wants to talk a little too.
And the Milan Lions Club, you part of the Lions Club?
The Lions Club, yeah. Okay. I'm going to be the president next year.
Oh, you
are? For the third time. I've been just about 60 years member.
And the Milan Lions Club just celebrated, 50 years?
Yeah, they just held a big event there of 75 years.
75 years, yeah.
Okay. But, it says you're going to roast your own hot dogs then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. You're going to do it over one of the little kilns.
Oh, nice.
This is the plan.
Okay. All right. So I just want to encourage everyone this Saturday, put that on your date, on your calendar, from 11 to 3 at the Don Struckness Farm, a mile and 3/4 east of Milan, right along Highway 40. I'm sure there'll be some signs.
Well,
maybe.
You'll see activity because it's right by the road.
All right, did we cover everything that we wanted to talk about?
I think you did a great job, Paul. Okay. Thank you.
Well, you did too. Yeah. Oh, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it too. Thank you.
All right. That's Don and Bev Struxness of Rural Milan. The biochar demonstration field day once again this Saturday from 11 to 3 at their farm.